churches. I'm not sure what that says about the intelligence of Baptists. We've grown from the experience, at least. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Luke chapter number 10. When I announce my title, probably a lot of women will say, about time, and this is what the men need to hear. But it's not just a problem to guys, but it is a temptation to us, and you'll understand when I announce the topic, but due to our position in marriage and in life that God has given us, we probably struggle more with this, but it's a struggle of all people, we will see. And I want to speak this evening on relationships versus accomplishments. Relationship versus accomplishment. We'll begin in Luke chapter 10. I had heard a speaker on the radio this last week, and she said that she was looking at someone's life and judging them for having not accomplished anything. And the Lord spoke to her, and she realized that though she hadn't accomplished much in her estimation, she had spent a lot of time working on her relationships, and her relationships were really strong and really good. And the Lord began to convict her about the neglect that she puts to relationships for her many accomplishments. And as I thought about that, I thought, well, that is a very difficult temptation, especially for me. I'm very much accomplishment-driven. I need to see results. I need to see things finished. I need to see things done. And I have to finish things. That's just the way I am. I'm not a starter, but I'm a finisher. I have to finish. In whatever shape I finish, I have to finish. I just got to get things finished, and that's the way I am. I have difficulty sleeping without tasks finished. They've got to be finished for me. And this is a temptation to me. And as I begin to study this, I would think of a story in the Bible, and then I would look it up, and I found it in Luke chapter 10. And then I would think of another one, and I'd look it up, and I'd find it in Luke chapter number 10. And I found that there are three stories in Luke chapter number 10 that have this thread in common. We'll begin at the beginning of the chapter, and much of this relates to what we were talking about this morning about kingdom living and which kingdom you serve in. When you stop serving in the kingdom of God and start serving in the kingdom of the world, and you get out of focus and you get out of balance, a lot of that has to do with your focus in life. God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, and it has very much to do with relationships. Spiritual matters have a lot to do with relationships. Relationships to people, relationships to God. And when we get off track in kingdom living, a lot of times it is this very battle that we're going to look at tonight, and you'll understand more as we get into it. Beginning in verse 1 of Luke chapter 10, "After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." We get to saying a lot in the days that we live in that there's not much harvest. In other words, we usually say it like this: the Lord's not doing much in the days that we're in. Or not many people are being saved, or not much is happening. We're in the last days, so nothing's really happening. But the problem then, I believe, is still somewhat of the problem today, that there's plenty of harvest, but oftentimes there are very few laborers in the Lord's harvest. As we mentioned before, as we were looking this morning about which kingdom do you serve in, we could put it this way in this verse. We could say, which harvest are you harvesting? And this has a lot to do with relationships versus accomplishments, as we'll begin to see. The problem was not a lack of harvest. The problem was not a lack of people. The problem was not even, I'll go a step further and say that the problem was not even a lack of laborers, but the problem was a lack of laborers in the harvest, in his harvest. Notice that phrase there, laborers into his harvest. There was a need for laborers in the Lord's harvest, work to be done in his harvest. This is the harvest season in our land, and we see combines and grain haulers all over the place. We, most of us, perhaps all of us, are not farmers for the most part, but we have a type of harvest that we're doing year-round. It's we don't have a harvest season for the most part, but we're harvesting every week. Every week we get some kind of a paycheck. Every week we get some kind of a payback on the labor that that we put in. And even perhaps if you're not a worker, but you're a laborer in the home, there's work, regular work, and regular payback from that work. Now notice he gives them, as he sends these 70 out, he gives them some exhortations, and we're going to look at these four key things that he speaks to them as he sends them out. Verse 3, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs amongst wolves. Again, we see two kingdoms, a kingdom of lambs and a kingdom of wolves, blended, cohabitating the same space. We see this as obviously dangerous, but it is our calling. And here's the four exhortations we find in verse number 4. Carry neither purse, no, don't carry a money bag, nor scrip, that's a food bag, nor shoes. He didn't say don't wear shoes, but don't carry an extra set. And salute no man by the way. Looking at these four things that he said, don't carry. In the word carry there, we understand the idea of burden. You cannot separate that from that original word there, the idea of a burden. He wasn't saying that money was wrong or unnecessary, but he was telling these 70 that he was sending them out in an urgent matter about urgent business, and he's saying, don't worry about taking a briefcase of money with you. Just go. Go and do the work. Don't burden yourself with money. Jesus urged us as part of the Sermon on the Mount. He said, take no thought for raiment. Take no thought for tomorrow. And with that particular phrase there, take no thought, is doesn't come through real well in the English, but really originally it was take no anxious thought. Don't take anxious thought for clothing. Certainly you need to take thought for clothing because the Bible gives us much exhortation on how we're to dress and how we're to look and things of that nature, but don't take anxious thought for provision of clothing. Don't take anxious thought for tomorrow. And this is that idea we see in that word carry and burden. Don't burden yourself. And the idea of carrying a satchel or a purse was with extra money. Don't get burdened with trying to do this when you need to do my work. Then the next thing was, don't get burdened with an extra bag for food. He was saying that he would provide that along the way. Don't burden yourself with that. And these are all categories. The next one was shoes. Don't carry an extra set of shoes with you. Just go and do the work of the Lord. And when those wear out, you'll either have the funds or you'll have the shoes. And again, he's not saying that these things aren't important. He's not saying that these things are evil. But in that word carry, we see the idea of burdening yourself and how much we burden ourselves with the care of these things. And then notice the next one, and this one's very interesting. And he says, and salute no man by the way. In other words, some of the niceties, some of the customs, and some of the courtesies of this world, in my calling for you, there's not time for. There's not time for some of the niceties, some of the customs, some of the courtesies. There's simply no room for in my work. I need you to go, and I need you to get there quickly. This is, we see in verse number 4 is the urgency of the Lord's work. And this fourth one, to me, is one of the biggest ones, because we preach all the time on not getting, you know, too caught up in a career. You know, even Hollywood teaches that in some of their movies. You know, we see the family that falls apart because the dad is stuck to his phone. And, you know, even Hollywood shows that those things are wrong. Or making too much provision for yourself in some way. Or, you know, we always joke about women having too many shoes. And but this fourth one is very interesting. No salutations. No of the extra customs and courtesies and niceties that we're pressured to do by the world. You know, the burden to carry some money, the burden to provide some food and some extra shoes, those ones come within ourselves. This fourth one comes without us, and it's this pressure. And there's a lot of things that fall into that. And as I begin to think about that fourth one, I think about how many customs and courtesies and things are placed upon us from this world and from the way that this world operates that actually prevent us from the work of the Lord. Think about that. If you think about it for a moment, how many times have you ever said, I would like to go and do this or that for the Lord, but I have to mow my lawn? And what a ridiculous thing in light of eternity. I'm not saying that we should all have shabby lawns, because that's obviously a bad testimony too, unless you live where I live and nobody can see it. But that we would put aside witnessing, that we would put aside relationships and the things of God for things of that nature is bizarre when we really consider it in the light of eternity. But on a daily basis, it makes sense. Well, I have to do this. I have to do that. I have to provide for my family to a certain level that is expected in the world and have a certain appearance that's expected in the world. And we hold ourselves to some of these niceties and these customs and these courtesies that actually, to a certain degree at times, get in the way. How many things come into our life that are just a pressure from this world? A pressure to look a certain way. A pressure to have a certain status. And all of the labor and all of the time that we put into addressing these earthly courtesies and salutations and niceties and customs. There's so many things, and we're all guilty of it from time to time. And it really gets in the way with this business of going and meeting with people and speaking with people. We had a situation in our home a few weeks ago that, and it was kind of my fault. Normally, I'm not the one making our home run behind. And we had to go somewhere and we had to do something. And we met up with some people that I really have a burden to witness to. And they said, can you come in for a little while? And I was running late. And I said, I can't. And I felt burdened about that afterwards. I thought, Mark, all of the busyness in your day, you need to leave with enough time to do the Lord's business. You need to leave in enough time that relationships can still be important. Not just meeting the deadlines, not just checking the things off the list and running the errands and getting this and getting that, but that relationships. And really what it was is the pressure was upon me and I was afraid of being late. That's another one of those salutations, another one of those niceties, another one of those courtesies. And we should be prompt people and on-time people, but not at the expense of ministry. Not at the expense of taking some time to speak to some people. And my wife is always on me. I come through the drive-thru, they say $3.95, I hand it to them, they hand me my food and I drive. She said, you never even said hello to that person. And I do it all the time. I come and I go at the bank. I come and I go and I'm working. I got things I have to do. And I am focused on accomplishment. And the moment I become focused on accomplishment, I have completely stopped working in the Lord's harvest. Completely stopped. I have completely failed. I have ceased to work on relationships, and I've begun to work on accomplishments. And most of the time, when I get accomplishment-oriented, not only am I not focusing on relationships, I'm bulldozing them at an alarming rate. I start getting frustrated because my accomplishments are falling behind, and what do? I lash out at my wife, and somehow it's her fault. And then I'm not as patient as I should be with my children. After all, they're helping us be behind, and I'm falling behind on my accomplishments, and we have these goals and things, and sometimes us men, we're the worst at them, but we're not the only ones. We'll see later on in reading some of these other stories. Let's move on to our next person of interest in Luke chapter number 10, and it's a lawyer that we find in verse 25. In verse 25, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What shall I do? Notice his focus. What shall I do? That's our natural focus. It's the natural focus of the Pharisee. The Pharisee is an accomplishment-driven individual. We're very prone to be Pharisees. Accomplishment-driven. Notice what he said. What shall I do? I want to accomplish. I want to get it done and seal that up and be done with it and then go on to the next thing. So he wants to get this done, cross it off his list. Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. Accomplish this. You accomplishment-driven people, this do, and thou shalt live. Remember, there was another individual that came to Jesus, and he said, Master, what is the first and greatest commandment? And he said, the same answer. He said, first, the first and greatest commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. But to us accomplishment-driven people, that's not an accomplishment. On Monday morning, when we're thinking about all the commands we got to keep, we're not even worried about that one. That one's not an accomplishment. To accomplishment-driven people, relationships are not accomplishments. They're problems. And that's the way I get. Relationships are problems. They're just, you know, they just get in the way. I mean, the more, you know, I always looked at team-building exercises in school as a problem. They'd always put you on these things, and you're supposed to do this, and the team-building exercises, this is a problem. I just want to do it, you know. Walmart Management School, you need to learn to delegate. I'm like, why? These people can't do anything, you know. Let me just do it. Forget about them, you know. To accomplishment-driven people, relationships are just in the way. And we don't consider, we don't think about that. And the Pharisee doesn't either. To think that the first and greatest commandment, we would think, what is it that we really need to do? Well, we shouldn't kill anybody. Well, that one's easy. Got that one just in the bank. Let's not worry about that one. Thou shalt not covet. Ooh, that's a little rougher. We're going to have to work on that one. You know, and so maybe on Monday morning we're thinking, I'm going to try not to covet. And I'm going to try not to lust because that falls into covetousness. And we're going to work on that tomorrow. And usually us accomplishment-driven people, we want to accomplish that. And we want to be good and whole and rounded. And so we start working on some of those things. And we think that we need to honor the Sabbath. And that's another command. And we need to work on that one. But we look at one like, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. The first and most important thing that you need to focus on tomorrow is your love for the Lord. How do I work on that? You know, we want to accomplish. That doesn't feel like accomplishing anything. That is the first command. And the second one isn't any better. The second one says, and thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said, upon this hang all of the prophets and all of the law. Hang on these two principles, these two concepts of of relationships. First of all, your relationship with God. And second of all, your relationship with fellow man. These two things are the most important thing. And really, as you begin to study the Bible, you never find God saying to His Old Testament prophets, I want you to get this done, and I want you to get this done, and I want you to get this done, and you should be plowing at least 2 or 3 acres every week. I know you got to preach, but you should plow at least 2 or 3 acres, and I want you to, no. In fact, how many times do we find God's man just sitting in prison somewhere? You think, how counterproductive us accomplishment people, we're going. How can this work? But really, it's no bounds to relationships. They can just plug right on. There's tons of people that need the Lord in prison. Relationships can just keep on rolling. And so these two things he says to this lawyer. These two things. And they're both relationships. Relationship to God, first of all. If you don't have that, you don't have anything. And second of all, your relationships to others. These are our two focuses. And verse 29, but he willing to justify himself. I think he was willing to accomplish this. He's still got a problem. He's willing to just accomplish this, and he says, and who is my neighbor? Let me just point him out, I'll get this done. That's the way we accomplishment people are. Point him out, I'll patch him up. What do you need me to do? And he says, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he tells the story of the Good Samaritan that we know so well. And we read the story, and we're introduced to a few more individuals. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell amongst thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And might I tell you that those people that did that to him were accomplishment-oriented, probably. They were bulldozing people in their path. They were not relationship-focused. They were accomplishment-focused. And they left him there and left him half dead. And that's what accomplishment people will do to other people. They'll leave them half dead. Reading on, it says, and by chance there came down a certain priest by that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Again, I'm preaching from the vault of my own weaknesses, because this is me all over the place. A certain priest passed by that way. And I know, I'm telling you, because I'm there. My life is busy. Trying to run a business, try to work part-time for my friend to help fill in the gaps where the business isn't there yet. Preaching here, preaching there. Usually a week that involves preaching ends like this. Monday I get home from work, and Monday night I study. Tuesday night I get home from work, I study. Wednesday night we come to church. Thursday night we get home from church, I study. Friday night I get home from work, I study. Saturday I go to work, get home from work early afternoon, I study. Go to bed, get up, go to church on Sunday. Monday I start that all over again. And so I find myself doing. I'm like that priest. Something comes up and I say, I'm out, you know. I gotta get to this town and I gotta preach. I mean, I'm out. I can't help you. I'd let somebody else. I've got a calling, you know. And I get that way. I say my life is too busy and I have to accomplish. I got things I got to accomplish. And likewise, verse 32, a Levite, when he was at that place, came on the other side and passed by on the other side. Looked on him and kept on going. You say, well, how could somebody do that? Well, again, our parable is a spiritual one. When we think spiritually, if we consider this spiritually, we do this every single day. How many people around us are half dead in their sin every single day? And we walk by. Why? We're busy. That's a simple matter. We're busy. I've got things that I have to accomplish. We see somebody shedding a tear over there. I don't know what that's about. I hope they're all right. We leave them half dead. We do it all the time. But notice a certain Samaritan. Oh, we would despise this. This would be like saying a certain Methodist walked by. You know, this is what Jesus would be saying to a Pharisee. A Methodist walked by, took him into his home, took care of him. We'd be like, oh, hope he didn't poison him. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, saw him, and had compassion on him, and went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to the inn, and took care of him. What an inconvenience. It was a financial inconvenience. It was a time inconvenience. We don't want to be inconvenienced. Not by time, not by finances, not by any way do we ever want to be inconvenienced for somebody. That's the way we accomplishment people are. And it's a danger. And so Jesus said, which one of these was neighbor to him? Obviously the one that saw his need and came to his aid. And Jesus said, go and do thou likewise. But spiritually, go and do likewise spiritually. You see a brother in the church that's starting to miss Sunday nights, Wednesdays. His life is starting to look sporadic. Why don't you go talk to him and tell him you love him? Pour in some oil and some wine and begin to work on him. Bind him up. Maybe he's been wounded and left for dead by thieves and robbers. You don't know what the circumstance is. Go find out. Investigate. Try to be a blessing. Try to work in the spiritual kingdom. You know, I get frustrated all the time because I'm always measuring success in the physical kingdom. And regularly I'm a failure in that. And yet it's so easy to succeed in the kingdom of God. It's so easy. Just try. Just see one person that has a need and just reach out and try. It's so simple. And God's power will come by the aid of the Spirit. You have the Word of God, which is a most powerful tool in people's lives that are hurting. And be amazed at what can happen if you would just get involved and work. Be a laborer in His harvest. Again, there's no lack of laborers. But there's a lack of laborers in His harvest. You know, and, we'll get on to that as we look at Martha. Our next individual here we find is Martha in verse 38 of Luke chapter 10. I said we would get to the ladies, and here we are. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Lord, help her to get as out of focus as I am. There are different ways that women become accomplishment driven in the home or in the kitchen or in different ways at the disregard to relationships. Remember, we spoke of some of those niceties, those customs, those courtesies. Oftentimes, women are the experts in niceties, customs, and courtesies. And some of those niceties, customs, and courtesies can get in the way of actual relationships. And what's hard for the woman is because hers kind of seem like they're actually about relationships sometimes. You know, they seem like they're about the right thing. Notice Martha was actually serving Jesus in a way, but she wasn't. She really, to most all people would go, isn't that a wonderful thing Martha's doing? Almost everybody would say, isn't that a wonderful thing Martha's doing? But it can never come at the cost of relationships. And remember, as we said before, accomplishment-driven people are often bulldozing relationships. And Martha right now is bulldozing a relationship with Mary and a relationship with Jesus at the same time, which is what we typically do. Because what? She wanted to accomplish the perfect meal. To a certain degree, it looked like service to the Lord. But really, it was counterproductive. You know, church building itself requires a lot of work and a lot of maintenance. It requires conferences, require tremendous amounts of work by the ladies and those that do the sound. But that can never come at the expense of relationships. Relationships in the kitchen, relationships anywhere, can never come at that expense. Because that's the conference is about. It's about relationship with the Lord. It's about serving those that come. And what a silly thing to try to work the work of the Lord all the while you're being counterproductive to it. We have to guard ourselves against such a mentality. Those salutations that we mentioned before, they seem so important. The customs, the courtesies, the niceties, the folded napkins, and, you know, they have a place. But that place is always below relationship. It's always below. The first greatest command was relationship, relationship with God. The second greatest one was relationship to others. We must never bulldoze relationships for the sake of accomplishment. And that, I tell you, comes as a hard thing being an accomplishment-driven person. That's what I am. I'm not a detail person. I'm not a perfectionist. But I need accomplishment. I have got to check things off my list regularly, get them done, out of the way, accomplish. And if I haven't accomplished, you know, sometimes I get home from work and work didn't go the way I wanted it to, so I'm going to go out in the barn and just accomplish something. Else I'm not going to sleep. I mean, I have to get out there and get something accomplished. And I am addicted to accomplishment, as many of us are. We have addicted ourselves to that. Comes at the cost of relationship. And how out of focus we get. And when we become out of focus, we cease to be laborers in the Lord's harvest. There's certain things that we want to go a certain way. We're kind of like Martha. We want things to go a certain way. You know, we need things to go a certain way. It cannot come at the expense of relationships. Mothers raising children. I urge you, there are so many things that so many of homes of this world will make seem necessary that are not. Your friends, they may be what I call dinks, double income, no kids, you know, and they may have the perfect yard and the perfect life, and yours looks a little maybe chaotic at times. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about the customs and the niceties and the things of this world. You know, I begin to look at our home as a factory. I mean, there's constant work going on. Yeah, I like a clean, perfect house, but you know what? When I'm building a shelf or I'm throwing up a wall, I'm throwing sawdust every which way, and I don't care because I'm accomplishing. We're moving forward. And our home is a place of nurture and accomplishment, and because of that, sometimes some of the things that the world would expect us to accomplish are going to have to go undone. And that's hard. That's hard for my nature. I have had to fight my nature. There have been times I had to let it go 2 weeks between mowings because I just didn't have any other choice. We think, oh, that's horrible. I mean, there's probably people in some churches that think you need to be disciplined for that. You let your yard go 2 weeks, you know. But we get a little too accomplishment-minded. Sometimes God has to send us things that wake us up concerning that. Send us trials and difficulties that bring things into perspective. Bring things into perspective in such a way that we look at that yard and we go, that don't matter. None of this matters. That's the way we feel when hard trials come, but it doesn't take long after hard trials that we get all out of focus again and get back to our ways. And I didn't intend this message to harp on anybody else, but I speak it from my own soul. It's my own weakness, my own burden that I struggle with. Notice lastly what Jesus said to Martha. He said, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful." Only one thing is necessary. And Mary had chosen that, and that was her relationship to Christ. Mary had chosen that. It's the most important thing. Pastor is always encouraging us to not mistake busyness for holiness. And that's easy to do. I tell you, that is more easy for me to do than anything. And we know that we're saved by grace and not by works. But oh, sometimes we live some awfully works-driven lives. It's very easy to do. We get to feeling like we're better than that deadbeat over there. After all, look what all we've done. You know, that deadbeat over there might have done more relationship building than you've ever done. We need to be careful how we judge sometimes. That person over there may have done more in the work of Christ than you will ever have time to accomplish now. Consider these things, relationship versus accomplishment. When we get accomplishment-oriented sometimes, we cease to accomplish. I'll try to speak accomplishment language to you. You cease to accomplish relationships the way you need to. There's an area of accomplishment that is lacking, and that's the area of relationship. And that is so much in my life, the busyness. It's the busyness that really does it. I'd like to do that, but I've gotten to a point where if the Lord puts something in my heart, I've just got to put it on my schedule because you know what? It will never happen. It will never happen. I've just got to put it on there and we've got to do it or I never will because I'm so busy. It's busyness that pulls me away from my morning devotions very prematurely. All the things I have to accomplish. There was an individual, I won't tell you his name because I don't respect anything about him, but he said something very good. In the midst of the most critical time in his life, and he was a preacher, but a famous one. During a very busy time in his life, he said, "I've gotten so busy that I have to pray at least 2 hours a day to make it." And we usually think the opposite, don't we? "I've gotten so busy, I only have a few minutes to pray." He said, "I've gotten so busy, I have to pray at least 2 hours every morning to make it through my day." And if we really looked at things properly, how true that is, how much more we need the Lord when things are busy. We need His blessing on every movement we make. We need Him to make the need for accomplishment to just go away. The things that have to get done, we need Him to just either pay for them, solve them, or help us get through them efficiently as possible. But we tend to be counterproductive to our own selves by forsaking our relationship to the Lord, first of all. That makes it even harder to accomplish the things we're trying to accomplish for those of us that are orientated that way. And it just goes downhill from there. We then get frustrated because accomplishment is suffering. So then our relationships to those around us begin to suffer. We're moody. And even if we're not moody, we're way out there in no man's land. You know, sometimes my wife says, "Hey, where are you at?" And I say, "I'm sorry. I had a lot on my mind today." things suffer. How many times do I catch myself saying to my kids, not now, maybe later. Not now, maybe later. It's a temptation. It's one I'm trying to get past. But I feel the pressure of things that need to be done. And we get out of focus. It's one of Satan's greatest tools in my life. It's busyness. It's clutter. Stuff that just we seem to have to do. Some of it, again, as we saw in the beginning of the chapter, is motivated by our own needs. Need for finances, need for food, need for shoes. But a whole bunch of it that we could readily cut out is external pressure to perform, external pressure to look a certain way, drive a certain car, have your house look a certain way, your lawn look a certain way, your kids dressed a certain way. I mean, how many times do we just get ourselves in a frustrated mess because we're trying to get all the kids' hair combed and all of us look perfect when we come into the door on Sunday? You know, it's quite a process at our house that starts rather early. And then relationships suffer over needless things. How pathetic is it that relationships should suffer over grass? Buy some Roundup. Be done with it. You know, I'm tempted, but it would be almost as hard for me to do that to mine as with the acreage. But, you know, how ridiculous that we should let niceties and customs and courtesies destroy what they were intended to protect. And that is relationships. We'll stop there and have a song and be dismissed.